What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Come on, get up!
Good morning. It is time to get up with a Superstar Sunday. The names and numbers that dominated, and a game seven that decided it all. Then, the deal done. Will the addition of this star receiver mean we remember these Titans come January? And then, is this the week we've been waiting for in Green Bay? Does Aaron Rodgers finally show his hand or get shown the door? Answers to those and other questions as we get up with you, starting right now. On a Monday from New York, I am Greeny, delighted you've chosen to get up with us and look at the superstar squad we have put together to talk football with you as the morning goes today. Dominique is ready. Jeff Darlington is here. Teddy Bruschi making plays today, and Ryan Clark will join the party as well. But we begin with the magical words. Game 7 in the NBA, Mavericks-Clippers for the right to advance. Here we go, and it was Luka Doncic. What a series Luka had. Late in the first, you can't stop him. This is Nicholas Batum working on him defensively. That's a three. Next possession, it's Rajon Rondo. That's another three for Doncic. Second quarter, Mavericks down by 5, being guarded by Terrence Mann. There's no good matchup. Doncic had 29 in the first half, but the Mavericks were down by 8 to the third quarter. We're tied at 81. Kawhi Leonard in the corner. He would not allow his team to go out in game 6, and he had 28 in game 7. Next possession, Clippers swinging it around. And the ball will tend to find the open man. And that man, more often than not, was Marcus Morris. He had 7 threes in the ball game. Here comes another off a feed from Kawhi. On the offensive side, looking for Morris. The Clippers finished the third on a 24-4 run. And they were feeling it in Los Angeles. Oh, the home team finally going to win. Steve Ballmer doing a little dance. Luka Doncic not feeling good. 2 minutes to go. Mavs down 10. Doncic not giving up. He averaged 35-10. For the series, 46 points in game 7, but it wasn't enough. The Clippers had too much. Reggie Jackson knocks it down. Kawhi, the 28, plus the 10 boards, the 9 assists. Clippers make 23s, and they advance 126-111. They will take on Utah in round 2, and right now, our friends at Caesars Sportsbook see the Jazz as slight favorites. Currently minus 145, the Clippers are plus 125. However, our analytics love Utah, giving the Jazz a 70% chance to make the Western Conference Finals. That was one game yesterday. How about the other? From game 7 to game 1. Joel Embiid back in the lineup with the torn meniscus. Sixers hosting the Hawks, and that means Trae Young. Oh, what a night Trae Young had. It was actually the afternoon, but you get the point. Late first quarter, knocking that one down for 3. Second quarter, the Hawks are up by 20. And if he finds any space, he makes you pay. The step back 3, and he was feeling it. 40 seconds to go in the half. Hawks are up by 18. Young, using another high screen, finds the space, knocks it down over Tobias Harris. He had 35 points, 10 assists. Doc Rivers says, I can't believe what I'm seeing. But the Sixers would not go quietly. A buck 15 to go. It's a 7-point game. Joel Embiid gets the feed. Look at the physicality from the big man. Get out of his way. Puts it up and good, only down by 5. Next possession, Embiid, again, working hard inside. 39 points for Embiid. Wanted the call there, doesn't get it, so it's a 3-point game. Under 15 seconds to go. Hawks up by 4, they need a steal. They get a steal. Ben Simmons, uncontested. It's a 2-point game. 10.5 seconds to go. They need another turnover. Can they find it? The answer is no. Hawks get it in. Green is forced to foul. Atlanta makes both free throws, and that's all she wrote. Atlanta steals game 1, 128-124, despite 39, a postseason career high from Joel Embiid. So that's where we stand after one game in that series, and here is where we begin our conversation with Tim Legler this morning. So they get Embiid back. He plays huge, and they still lose at home. Is the one seed in the East in trouble in this series?
They're definitely in trouble. That doesn't mean they can't win the series, but when you have Joel Embiid play in the first game and play with 100% ability to move and get off the ground and have a normal Joel Embiid night and you still lose, it's a major concern, and here's why. I think Philadelphia is one of, if not the best perimeter defensive team in the NBA. They've got more personnel to throw at Trae Young than any other team when you talk about the guard position, and yet They could not contain him the entire game, particularly the way he got out of the gate. It's a massive problem for Doc Rivers. But here's what I think the solution is going to be, Greeny. I think they need to start Matisse Thybulle and let Matisse Thybulle have Trae Young the entire time he's on the floor. And if Trae Young gives the ball up, you've got to face guard and deny and take him out of the game and not let him get the basketball back to the extent that you can. Great players are still going to make plays and have an impact. But Trae Young got into a comfort zone at the start of this game. And when he does that, he puts so much pressure on your defense, similar to a Curry or a Damian Lillard, because of where you have to guard him. So I think the answer is change the matchup. You have to have more minutes with Thybulle on him. If that means you start him and Danny Green comes off the bench, so be it. Because Danny Green had absolutely no answer for Trae Young. And that's going to be the key to the series. So I think Philadelphia will still and can still win the series. But there's no doubt the level of concern has been significantly raised.
All right, so the Nets and the Hawks have one game leads in the East. Out West, with the Lakers out and the Clippers advancing, round two begins tonight. In your mind, right now, who is the team to beat in the Western Conference?
I don't hedge, Greeny, but I'm telling you right now, it's a toss-up. I could sit here and make a great argument for any four of these teams. I don't think necessarily it's the Clippers. I think people are going to now go there because of the talent with Kawhi and Paul George, and they got by a Dallas team. Here's the thing. Dallas is a team that's got some serious limitations. They're not a very good defensive team. They don't have a lot of answers in terms of offense creation outside of Luka Doncic. So for the Clippers to take seven games to get by a flawed Dallas Mavericks team, even with a superstar on it, I think people are going to start to get a little bit ahead of themselves when you start to take a look at the rest of the West. Are you going to forget what you watched all year out of the Utah Jazz and the Phoenix Suns? I do not think it's clear cut. And if I had to go lay money on it today, I actually probably would split it between Utah and Phoenix. I think those two teams have been the best teams in the Western Conference for a reason. They're the 1 and 2 seeds. They don't really have holes. And I think they've gotten a lot more confidence with what they had to go through in the first round. And I think either of those teams right now, a little bit more complete than what you're going to get out of the Clippers. So even though Kawhi Leonard can win a game, win a series practically by himself, and if he goes into that autopilot mode the way he did at the end of this series or the way he did when he led Toronto to a championship, the Clippers will be in the finals. But I do not think by any means it's a foregone conclusion.
All right, we will see. Phoenix and Denver get it started tonight. Timmy Legg, stay close. We'll come back to you a little bit later. Meantime, this weekend we were waiting for it, and it finally did. The shoe has dropped on Julio Jones. Our Diana Russini reporting the Falcons expected to trade Julio to the Titans. A few hours later, that deal got done. The Titans sending a 2022 second-round pick and a 2023 fourth-round pick to the Falcons for Julio and a sixth-rounder. Ryan Tannehill, your thoughts.
I'm excited. I'm fired up. You know, it's been a little bit up and down. Didn't know if it was going to happen or not. You know, excited to bring Julio on board. To pair him across from AJ on the other side, you know, it's a really dynamic duo for our starting receivers. So, looking forward to what he can bring to the table. Obviously, a lot of work in front of us. Gonna have to feel each other out and get on the same page.
I know what you're wondering. You're wondering, what did Vegas think of the trade? The answer is Vegas liked the trade. Their odds to win the Super Bowl at Caesars Sportsbook jumped dramatically. They went from 35-1 to 30-1 with the addition of the 32-year-old superstar. And speaking of superstars, our squad is ready to go today. Here we go. Dominique, Jeff Darlington, and Teddy Bruschi, I will start with you. We're now looking at offense that has Derrick Henry on it and has A.J. Brown on it and now has Julio Jones on it. What are the Tennessee Titans, in your opinion, as of this morning?
Oh, the Tennessee Titans are a vastly improved team. I say that because Julio Jones just accentuates who they are. I mean, this is a team that has to win the physical battle. I mean, they have to win the line of scrimmage. They have to break tackles. And Julio Jones is a player that's going to complement that, because to stop Derrick Henry, you need 7-8 guys in the box, and that's when Julio Jones will find his value off of the play-action pass. Now, this isn't a team that's going to win a championship scoring 35 points a game or anything like that. It's about, can they establish who they are every single game against those upper echelon teams when they eventually play them? So, can they beat up on the Chiefs? Can they beat up on the Bills and play that slugfest with the Ravens? This is something that helps that, because blocking and tackling. A.J. Brown's one of the toughest in the league to tackle. Everybody knows Derrick Henry is. Julio Jones, I believe, complements that, but I think this this is a team that'll be highly competitive in the AFC.
All right, so Dominique, you're a corner, and I'm just envisioning they break the huddle, and Julio Jones runs to one side, and A.J. Brown runs to the other. What do you do?
I'm not a corner anymore. I'm a talking head on TV, and thank the Lord above that I am considering what the Tennessee Titans have out there. So I agreed with everything Teddy said, except for the conclusion that he got to, is I don't think that they're vastly better because I think, frankly, Julio's going to fill in for what Corey Davis did last year. And I know Julio Jones at his peak is much better than Corey Davis was, but Corey Davis was really good. And this team has just become more of who they are because last year they were one of the best teams, I think the best team in the league on first down. And I think that's what Julio brings to them is more threats on first down because you can't load the box like Teddy was alluding to stop the run against Henry if you're going to have one-on-one matchups on either side with both of those receivers. So I think the big questions for this team on the defensive side of the ball, Julio Jones doesn't do anything to help them there. And losing Arthur Smith, their offensive coordinator, who's now the head coach in Atlanta, I think all these things kind of end up, to me, with the Titans just kind of being the same as they were last year.
And Jeff, let me come to you then.
If you're saying they're the same, I mean, they establish within a game that they are beating you at the line of scrimmage. And then so you even have to commit to that even more is what I'm saying, Neek. Right. And then there's a Julio Jones option after that. Above a Corey Davis option after that. And if you get healthy Julio, because we all know if he's going to be on the field and going to be able to stay there, that's where the impact comes, when the ball's in his hand and he breaks another tackle, because, I mean, that's what makes them scary, not in terms of scoring points, but, man, I got to tackle this guy all day, not only A.J. Brown, Derrick Henry, but now, wait a second, I got to tackle Julio Jones too. And that's the exact attitude Vrabel's going to try to create with this team. It's just about establishing that.
Julio's going to have to learn how to rush the passer some, because that's what they really need. Someone to rush the passer, and Caleb Farley is the guy that they drafted to replace the corner. He has a really ugly injury history, and on the other side is Janoris Jenkins. So I agree with you. Up until the point where you say they're not going to have to score 35 points a game, they might have to. Honestly, they might have to score 35 points a game. Poor Jeff. You don't get to say anything, bud. Sorry.
Well, they may be capable of scoring 35 points a game now with that array of weapons. Certainly the names on the backs of the jerseys, all the fans are well aware of. Jeff, what'd you hear from people around the league after the deal got done?
Well, what's especially interesting here, Greeny, is that they gave up a second round pick, and there really didn't turn out to be a bidding war for Julio Jones' services. Now, you can say whatever you want about that. Does that mean that he was not as coveted around the league as maybe we thought he would be? Heck, Randy Moss back in 2007 went to the Patriots for a fourth round pick. We know how that turned out. But this was a situation where, you know, the Ravens were interested, the Rams were interested. There were interested parties, but no team was willing to give up a second-round pick and also take on Julio Jones' contract. But to the Titans, this is not as much of a luxury as it is a necessity because of the conversation we just had about Corey Davis and his impact last year. The Titans know if they want to stay at the top of the AFC, where they've kind of been inching toward, they needed to get a wide receiver to complement AJ.
Well, will Julio make us remember the Titans? That's the first question of the day. We have a lot more still to come, and many of them will be about Aaron Rodgers. We'll get to him as we continue in a moment. The Packers sent him a very public message over the weekend. How will he respond? Tomorrow is the day we find out. We'll explain why in just a moment. Plus, after Dak, who's the most important player in Dallas and the key to their success in 2021? Wait till you hear the answers from our crew as we get up with you on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Get Up is brought to you by Liberty Mutual Insurance. Only pay for what you need. How about this finish last night? Sunday Night Baseball in the Bronx. Red Sox looking for a sweep of the Yankees. in New York for the first time in 10 years. But bottom line, Red Sox are up 4-3. Gleyber Torres, that's a base hit to left. Aaron Judge hustling all the way from first, and that would tie the game at four. Then three batters later, Rougned Odor with the winning run on third. Watch. Strikes out looking. Yankee third base coach Phil Nevin was irate. He got thrown out. Either way, we go to extras, tied at four. Top of 10, that's Luis Sessa doing the pitching and a 3-2 count. That's called a ball, and Gary Sanchez can't believe it. The Yankees are frustrated, and then they would like this even less. Two on, two out. That's Xander Bogaerts. A base hit, both runs score, and the Red Sox win it 6-4, completing the sweep. Again, it's the first time the Red Sox walk into Yankee Stadium and leave with a sweep in a decade. Prior to this series, Boston had lost 11 straight away games against the Bombers. Moreover, the Red Sox have now won 5 straight extra inning games at Yankee Stadium. We'll talk more about that later. Meanwhile, now let's talk about this. Tomorrow is a significant day in the development of the Aaron Rodgers saga. It is the first of 3 consecutive days of Packers mandatory minicamp. In his monthly column, Packers president Mark Murphy had this to say regarding the impact of the predicament. Quote, the situation we face with Aaron Rodgers has divided our fan base. The emails and letters that I've received reflect this fact. As I wrote here last month, we remain committed to resolving things with Aaron, want him to be our quarterback in 2021 and beyond. We are working to resolve the situation and realize that the less both sides say publicly, the better. He said that again, Dominique Foxworth, in his monthly column. So what question immediately jumps to your mind?
A, why the hell does Mark Murphy have a monthly column? Like, who cares? And also, I mean, can we do a FOIA request on his emails? Because I'm pretty sure that there is nobody emailing him angry about Aaron Rodgers. There is no divide. There's no fans who are like, we don't want Aaron back. Like, he's trying to create this this friction that doesn't exist, and it seems like maybe it's not intentional, but it feels kind of intentional, like he's trying to vilify Aaron Rodgers in this situation. And maybe Aaron deserves it, but it's a weird thing to do because it seems so obvious where he's saying he's dividing our fan base. Calling someone divisive is not a compliment. And suggesting that there is anyone in within 1,000 miles of Green Bay, Wisconsin, that roots for the Packers that doesn't want Aaron Rodgers back, suggesting that to me sounds absurd. I need to see these emails and letters immediately.
Teddy.
Yeah, the only thing with that, Neek, is people are starting to point fingers. And I think that's what he's talking about in terms of, I mean, there are Packers fans and there are generational, I mean, this is a generational player that's been 10, 15 years. So you got kids that grew up that all they know is Aaron Rodgers, so they want to blame the organization. And then there are the fans that are 40, 50 years old that have seen a lot of quarterbacks before Aaron Rodgers that are blaming Aaron Rodgers. And that's just the natural thing to happen because here in New England, there are still people that think Tom Brady should be here. And they will point blame at Bill Belichick or Robert Kraft. And then also people look at Tom Brady and say he chose to leave. So the blame game is starting in Green Bay, which is what I'm trying to say. And people will look at Aaron and say, man, I can't believe you left us like that. And then others will say, man, I can't believe you drafted a quarterback to make the Aaron Rodgers leave. So there is the conflict that all the Green Bay Packers fans are going to start to experience once it sets into them that Aaron Rodgers probably isn't going to come back.
And Jeff Darlington, why is tomorrow a huge critical day in all of this?
Well, first of all, the fact that Aaron Rodgers, the coaching staff, nobody in Green Bay expects him to show up for OTAs. And by the way, that's not that big of a deal. The fine for this is $93,000. Not until training camp do those fines start to increase and feel like more of a deadline. But quickly back to this Mark Murphy newsletter Q&A thing that Meek so eloquently criticized. A little more context to this. This was a question and answer column. And in the column, Mark Murphy was asked by a fan. The question from the fan actually wasn't even really a question. It says, dear Mark, you have done a great job. Don't let the critics drag you down. Washington needs a new name. I suggest the Generals. Like, I don't even know what that question was exactly. That is the question where Mark Murphy then unsolicited says that we realize that the less both sides say publicly, the better. The question wasn't even about Aaron Rodgers. Like, it doesn't even make sense. What is he talking about?
I understand why Aaron is annoyed with all this, because on top of that, it feels like he's talking directly to Aaron. Because if he wants Matt LaFleur to stop talking, or he wants Brian Gutekunst, who hasn't said much, to stop talking, you just got to walk down the hall. Making this public statement feels again like they're telling Aaron Rodgers what to do. And whether you side with Aaron Rodgers or not, I understand. Like, Teddy makes a great point where people might be choosing sides on who to blame, but nobody's choosing sides on who they want. If you give any of the 50 to 70-year-old guy in the fan base, like, we could keep Mark Murphy and Brian Gutekunst, or we could get Aaron Rodgers. Everybody knows what side they're on when it comes to that.
Go ahead, Teddy.
Yep. Yeah, and Murphy and Gutekunst will make it sure, make it clear in every comment that they make that they want Aaron back, that they, that he's their quarterback, that he, they're doing everything they possibly can to bring him back. They have to do this because it makes like they're, it makes it look like they're giving effort to bring him back. But they didn't think about all this with some of the actions they took in the last couple years. So still, it's going to be, how do we look to people when we say things?
And I think I would just go back quickly to what Jeff said, because I think it is ironic to point out that Mark Murphy wrote in his newsletter that we realize the less both sides say publicly, the better. He wrote that publicly in a newsletter unsolicited. So he is not following his own advice, it does not seem. That said, Dominique, does this thing, when Rodgers doesn't show up tomorrow, does it change anything about what you expect to happen in the long run?
It doesn't change anything, but I think it's hard to predict what Aaron Rodgers would do. He's a unique guy. So, like, I'm of a mind, if you catch me at the right time, where I think Aaron Rodgers would be willing to sit out this season and then try to force their hand next year. And then I also kind of think Aaron Rodgers wouldn't want this on his resume, because he seems like a sensitive type of guy, and he doesn't want to be criticized for that. So it's hard for me to predict what's going to happen with a player like Aaron Rodgers, but I can guarantee you that up until week one, it won't be pretty.
All right, I have much more on this as we continue, guys. Let me take a short break on that thought. Coming up, more football as we go. Are Baker and the Browns Super Bowl contenders? Why one member of our crew is slamming the brakes on this Cleveland run. You'll hear why. And the Nets win game one without James Harden. Can they win this series if he can't go? Jay will answer that question and more as we roll on. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We're back on Get Up, and let's run the floor. Yesterday's NBA action, Game 7, Mavs and Clippers. Can't blame Luka. Doncic was spectacular, 46 points, 14 assists, but not enough. Kawhi Leonard, 1 assist shy of a triple-double. L.A. wins 126-111. The Clippers and Jazz will begin their next series tomorrow night. In Philly, Trae Young had 35 points. Hawks held on to beat the Sixers by 4 in Game 1 in that second-round series. Atlanta nearly blowing a 25-point third-quarter lead. Joel Embiid, playing with a torn meniscus in his knee, had 39 for the Sixers. And James Harden will miss tonight's game 2 against the Bucks with what is described as right hamstring tightness. Harden was hurt in the first minute of the Nets' victory on Saturday night in the regular season. He missed over a month with a right hamstring strain. So, Jay Williams, KJZ, ESPN Radio, if James Harden is not able to be a factor in this series, let's just sort of spin
in the whole
it
series.
Way, however that may go,
okay,
who wins?
I might have to go with the Bucks. I think the Bucks will win game 2. I don't see them shooting 20% from the three-point line. And look, if this was a series where you're asking me, hey, who has more offensive firepower if KD, James Harden, and Kyrie are healthy against the Bucks, I take the Nets all day long. But not having James Harden on the floor as a facilitator then makes Kyrie Irving a facilitator to a degree. Kyrie Irving can handle that, but I still think defensively, they will be able to clamp down in a matter of time. Plus, with the way the Bucks can shoot, and it kills me to say this, Gritty, because you know I'm a Nets fan. I think that the Bucks will find a way to clamp down defensively on Alexa, KD, and Kyrie.
So, to be clear, and that's where I wanted to set this thing up, at the risk of depressing you, Harden is critical. What you're telling us is Harden is the difference between the Nets advancing and not.
Yeah, especially in this series, because he's a guy that offensively, there's nobody that can guard him. Now, when the Bucks lost Dante Vincenzo, you're saying that's a huge loss for the Bucks from a defensive perspective, right? Because now you have to have three guys that can guard these guys. Not having that, now you take off James Harden, the guy who gave you double-digit assists almost every single game, Greeny. It's a huge loss for Brooklyn. You still have KD and Kyrie, but I think the Bucks have enough defensively to scheme to win this series.
All right, we'll see. So they will play that game two tonight. In the meantime,
without James Harden, James Harden doesn't come back.
Right. So let me go to one other thing here. The Mavericks, their season comes to an end yesterday. Luka Doncic has, by the numbers, one of the great playoff series in the history of the sport in a losing effort. If I were to say to you, at the age of 22, right now, that guy is the best offensive player in the world, right now, what would you say to me?
I would still say the best offensive player in the world is Kevin Durant, but he is right there. If Kevin Durant's 1A, Luka's 1B. Because what you saw him do last night and what he's done throughout this whole series is incredibly special. He's gifted. Now, the real question comes into, Greeny, what do the Mavericks do around him offensively? Because Porzingis is not it. You know, it's funny, a lot of people said that Tim Hardaway Jr. was the throw-in part of the package when the Knicks made that trade. You can make an argument now that, no, that was actually Kristaps Porzingis was the throw-in part of that trade. And Tim Hardaway Jr. is going to get paid. So, yes, Luka is special, but you can also make an argument going back to when they had this, is it Luka or Trae Young? Look at the way Atlanta has built around Trae Young. Look where Trae Young is in the playoffs as seeming what Dallas needs to do around Luka. Atlanta's built around Trae Young way better than Dallas has around Luka.
That's fair, and it's probably right. But let's just sort of finish it with this. For those who aren't following it, just put into perspective how good Luka Doncic is. Again, 35-10 for a seven-game series. Put into perspective how good he is.
Look at this face. Look at this. This is the face of the NBA moving forward. Mark this down. This is the face of the NBA moving forward. This is how special of a talent that the NBA has. There's a reason why LeBron James wanted to sign Luka to his first signature shoe. LeBron James sees it. The rest of the world sees it. But I think now we get a chance to see it on Broadway, even though he couldn't get over the hump the first round. But he is a differentiator as it relates to every NBA player in the game currently.
And I mentioned one more time, he's 22.
22 years old.
Years old. All right, Jay Will, KJZ, every weekday morning, coast to coast on ESPN Radio. Thank you, Jay.
Thank you. Luka pass. Pocket pass.
Meanwhile, the NBA playoffs roll on with two conference semifinals. Thursday night, we'll have them on ESPN. Game 3, Nets Bucks is 7:30 Eastern, then 10 Eastern, Jazz Clippers Game 2. Countdown crew will start your night at 7 Eastern. It's all here on ESPN. Meanwhile, back to the NFL, and it's time for Teddy Set Go with Teddy Bruschi. Here we go. Teddy, first question.
All right.
Julio Jones. Does he make the Titans the scariest offense in the AFC?
A part of me says yes, and here's why. Because this is already one of the most physical units in the league, and you added another physical receiver. Defensively, I got to worry about Derrick Henry and stopping the run all day long. They're going to try to impose their will upon me. And Julio Jones is just that receiver that can complement that. Awful play action. So they're going to score 30 or 40 on you? No. But they can beat you up, and that can make you scary.
Next, I want to talk about another AFC contender, Baltimore. They say Lamar Jackson's going to get a lot more snaps from under center. What does that mean, Teddy?
Man, Green, just giving you the linebacker perspective, it just makes this offense more dangerous. And why I say that is because the play action game is just more realistic when you're under center. It takes longer to make the fakes. The quarterback's back is to you. I have to buy what you're selling. And that's what makes it tough. If Lamar is able to be deceptive and make this look run pass look identical, this could be a huge, small element that can help them win a lot of football games.
And then finally, in that same division, everybody talking about the Browns. How do you see them entering 2021?
Yeah, everybody's been talking about the Browns for a long time in terms of who they end up signing, the roster that they have, and you know, really who they are on paper. Are they just going to be another team that goes 11-5 again, gets bounced in the playoff and can't make it happen when the game's on the line, when the championships are on the line? That's something I'm still trying to figure out about this Cleveland Brown team, because we're talking about winning championships, not just making the playoffs. I hope that's the way they're thinking. And there are next levels in terms of mental progression your head coach and your quarterback have to take.
Yeah, you can call it on paper. You can say, look at the names on the backs of the jerseys, one way or the other. The talent is clearly there. So, Dominique, if I were to say to you, if Baker Mayfield takes the next step, and that's a big step for a quarterback to take, that is the difference between the Browns being a Super Bowl team or not. Is that oversimplifying it, or would you buy it?
It's probably oversimplifying it, but I would still buy it, because the quarterback is the most important position. And if a quarterback can take a leap, because Baker is a slightly above average quarterback, if he can take the step from that to like great quarterback, then that covers up a lot of other shortcomings that you have. You don't have to rely on the running game, or that offensive line that they have is really good nearly as much. And you take pressure off the defense, which has gotten better. The additions that they made this offseason to that defense, yes, a lot of it's on paper, but they're proven guys. John Johnson may be the best safety in the NFL. He's now on their team. Same is true of Troy Hill, who's going to be playing nickel. And then they went and got Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah to play linebacker, and they addressed the pass rush by adding Clowney to go opposite Garrett. Like, this team, again, like Teddy said, they're loaded on paper, but the most important thing for any team in this league is that quarterback spot. So if you can count on Baker to make 5 to 10 big plays in playoff games regularly, yes, they're a Super Bowl contender.
Def Darlington, thoughts on the Browns?
Look, I kind of where Teddy is at, and here's the thing: like, the second you criticize the Browns in any capacity, they'll come at you, meaning the fan base, to say, like, no, look at us, like, look what we did last year against the Steelers. But I'm not just talking about the division; we're talking about being the cream of the crop in the NFL. Like, getting out of the division is going to be difficult in its own right. You've got two teams in the Steelers and the Ravens that feel like they could definitely compete with the Browns for the division, and a team in the Bengals that's starting to rise with Burrow. We'll see about them. But, like, the point there is, like, they're going to eat each other alive within their own division. Can they then get out of that and handle the Chiefs, the Titans, the Bills? Like, that to me feels like a challenge that, to Nick's point, it's going to require Baker Mayfield being more of an elite quarterback than he has shown so far. So,
I mean, in defense of the Browns fans, I think they would also point to that Kansas City Chiefs playoff game. Even though they lost it, I think they would point to that and say that, yes, they can play with the big dogs if it weren't for, like, a bad call from the referee. They feel like they would have won that game.
Teddy's look skeptical.
Yeah,
why?
Yeah, because Nick brings up a great point on their defense. Love it. Love everything they've done. A lot of moves to talk about. But I disagree with Darlington, too, and Nick in terms of I really don't want Baker to be elite. I don't think he has to be elite for this team to win. The progression I'm talking about in terms of the quarterback position with Baker is realizing to stay out of the way sometimes. Can he do that? Does he want to press and show how good he is? That's when you take risks and throw interceptions and you don't make good decisions and you put more pressure on yourself. I'm saying this roster's so good, Baker just needs to be good sometimes. And sometimes it takes a young player like this, not that you can't realize that, because it's like, man, everyone's looking to me now and I got to throw for 5,000. I got to have 4 touchdowns. That's not the way championship football happens sometimes in terms of progression of a quarterback. And not only his play, but mentality and leadership. That's what I'm talking about.
An interesting thought for a guy who was the first pick in the draft and waiting for the next or his first real big contract. Let me leave that there, but we will come back to it. So much still to go. Speaking of quarterbacks with big contracts, after Dak, who is the most important player in Dallas and the key to their success? We've got the answers, and they're not who you think. Plus, just how much trouble are the Yankees in? Buster only sounding the alarm loudly. Don't miss it. Next.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
I don't know the question you're trying to ask.
Be better tomorrow.
I'm not answering that. That's a clown question, bro.
Next.
Mike, why are you in such a bad mood?
What do you care?
What else do you want to know?
Next question.
I'm not going to answer any questions from you.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Here we go. It is time for me to ask a series of hard-hitting, provocative questions to that man, Dominique Foxworth, who has to answer them whether he wants to or not. And speaking of whether you want to or not, Chad Johnson fighting and doing a pretty good job on the undercard last night of the Mayweather-Logan Paul affair. So here's the question. How many rounds could you go with Chad Johnson?
Zero. Like, I don't fight. It's been a long time since I've done anything physical, and I also do not have the desire to fight anybody. I'm good on that. There's not... Well, maybe there is enough money, but the amount of money they are paying is not enough for me to go endure any more subconcussive episodes in my life. I'm good on that, unless you want to fight, Greeny. You're the only one I'll step in there against. We're about the same height, about the same weight. We could jab it out. That's about it, though.
But I think the similarities in there, Dominique. I too, will take a pass on that.
We can string it along for a few rounds, not hurt each other, and get that check, Greeny. Let's make this happen.
Seriously, or we could just battle it out over a chessboard or something like that. Seems a lot safer to me. All right, back to the NFL. Give me a surprise team for 2021 that you like that no one's talking about.
I like the Saints. They still have Sean Payton, and I understand Jameis Winston has a lot of problems, but he also has a lot going well for him. Right now, we're looking at possibly Taysom Hill being the starting quarterback, but if Sean Payton can get past that, they still have a ton of weapons to throw to. They have a ton of weapons on defense. They don't have that many weapons on offense, but the weapons they have are dynamic and an outstanding offensive line. I think if Jameis Winston becomes the starter and Sean Payton's able to work the same magic that he did with Drew Brees, then this team could surprise people down there against Tampa Bay.
I like that a lot. Jameis Winston, a sneaky, interesting pick to have a big year. Finally, taking your favorite player of all time, Dak Prescott, out of the conversation. Who is the most important person to the Dallas Cowboys' success this season?
Yeah, most important other than Cousin Dak, I think is not a player. I think it's Dan Quinn, the defensive coordinator, because this defense has held this team back for a couple of years, and maybe it's been the talent out there, maybe it's been the coaching out there, but it doesn't matter. If they can get to middle of the pack, and their offense can keep producing at a level that it was producing last year and the year before when Dak was healthy, this is a legitimate competitor in their division. But the big question is, can they get that defense to at least mediocre? If they can get to like 16 in the league, if they can get to 10 in the league, they're a real serious team as long as that offense keeps putting up the numbers that it can, we know it's capable of putting up.
Okay, let me bring the, Teddy Bruschi, if changing the coach can get that defense up to 10 in the league, then every football coach everywhere is underpaid. I keep hearing Dan Quinn is going. So if that happens, then Teddy, you just follow this with me. Either Dan Quinn is the greatest defensive coach of all time, or Mike Nolan is the worst defensive coach of all time, because that defense was unwatchable last year. Teddy, help me understand this.
True, in terms, I love what Foxworth is talking about. I agree 100% that he is so valuable to that team because Greenberg, sometimes you just need a fresh voice. You need a fresh voice that has something new for you, simplification of the scheme. Anything like that makes you a new player. It gives you a fresh outlook on things. So that's how valuable it is to get a new voice in there. And if Dan Quinn does a good job, let's just get them in the right positions to where they can adjust to across the ball motion, shifts, everything like that, because communication was such a big problem for them last year, especially down in the red area. So that type of impact and that type of different voice can have a huge difference in terms of how good you are defensively. You get the great young kid at linebacker also coming in from Penn State, I believe it is, the Parsons kid, but still. Yep. Quinn, he can get this done if there is a fresh voice, because players, sometimes they're not as bad as they look when they're just unmotivated.
Micah Parsons, who was drafted out of Penn State, yeah, many people think was the best defensive player in the whole draft. Jeff Darlington, what do you think?
Well, look, I mean, I understand completely why the defense is so critical to the success this year. You posed the question to Dominique, which player is most important behind Dak Prescott? I was inclined to pick a defensive player there. I didn't realize you could just cheat and pick the defensive coordinator and throw the whole question out. But that sounds like a Mark Murphy move with the Packers. But let's move on from that. Ezekiel Elliott, by the way, is one of the higher paid guys on the roster. You know, $9 million this year, $12 million next year. Like, they need more production out of him. He only had 3 explosive plays, according to our guy Hembo last season. This is a guy who needs to step up and probably will with a healthier offensive line and a healthy Dak Prescott. But they need that offensive firepower from a guy that they've invested a lot of money in.
All right, I want to come back and talk about Zeke a little more as we go. I need to get to a few other things here because it was such an incredibly busy weekend, but we will come back to this. But as I mentioned, what a weekend it was in sports. Let me run through it all for you, fast and furious. We start in Paris, the French Open, the 7-seed Serena Williams, her quest for Grand Slam championship number 24 comes to an end. The 39-year-old knocked out in straight sets by Elena Rybakina, who was not even born when Serena made her tournament debut in 1998. So there's that. Then there's this, Simone Biles. Oh, is she unbelievable, claiming her record 7th U.S. title Sunday night, delivering another amazing performance. The Olympics are now less than 7 weeks away, as she will look to become the first woman to win back-to-back Olympic championships in more than 50 years. Elsewhere last night, YouTube star-turned-prize fighter Logan Paul went the distance with Floyd Mayweather all 8 rounds in an entertaining exhibition in Miami. No winner was officially declared. ESPN scored the bout 78-74 in favor of Floyd Mayweather. Then going back to Saturday, what a finish at the Belmont Stakes. The favorite, Essential Quality, held off Hot Rod Charlie in a thrilling run down the stretch. The race, of course, was run without a horse trained by Bob Baffert, who was banned after the Kentucky Derby winner failed a drug test. Golf this weekend in the Memorial, the stunning scene on Saturday right there. John Rahm leading by 6 shots, couldn't be playing better. Being informed as he walked off 18 that he had tested positive for COVID, he had to withdraw. Without him, it came down to a playoff between Colin Morikawa and Patrick Cantlay, who rolled in that clutch birdie putt on 17 to force the playoff. Then Morikawa missed that putt on the first playoff hole, and Patrick Cantlay, for the second time in his career, won Jack Nicklaus's event. And then, as we touched on, what a weekend for the Red Sox. They complete the 3-game sweep of the Yankees, 6-5-10 last night. It's the Red Sox' first 3-game sweep in the Bronx in 10 years. The Yankees have lost 8 out of 10. And I want to take a closer look at that. We are a week into June, and the Yankees have the second worst record in their own division. Here's Buster Olney. Buster, what is the single biggest reason why this team is underperforming to this level?
Yeah, Greeny, I was at Yankee Stadium last night for Sunday Night Baseball, and Yankee fans are furious. They booed the team off the field a couple times because this is the worst Yankees offense that we've seen in our lifetime. Think about these numbers, okay? They start today 25th out of 30 teams in runs scored. It's the lowest runs per game they've scored since 1972, the lowest batting average since 1968, the highest strikeout rate in the history of the franchise. They lead the majors in hitting into double plays and running into outs. And it's the question, other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play? It's a total disaster for a team that really needs to rely on its offense. As Aaron Boone told us before yesterday's game, typically the Yankees hang their hat on offense. Now it's the biggest problem.
That's exactly right. So what do they do? We've got some time here before the trade deadline. What specifically should general manager Brian Cashman be thinking about doing?
He desperately needs to improve the athleticism of this lineup and the left-handed balance. For example, a player like Ketel Marte of the Arizona Diamondbacks. Look, Arizona is going to be one of the early sellers. They're having a terrible year. Ketel Marte is hitting .376. He's a switch hitter. He can play center field. He can play second base. And something else that's going to be attractive for the Yankees, he has an incredibly affordable contract with team options in 2023 and 24. One of the big questions about the Yankees leading up to the trade deadline, will Hal Steinbrenner, their owner, agree to let them go over the competitive balance tax of $210 million? And you know what? It's not a given that he will do that, given how much they've struggled.
It's been a crazy start to the season. All right, outstanding. Buster, thanks. And tonight at 10 Eastern, our Monday Night Baseball game is the first of three between the Central leading Cubs and Fernando Tatis and the Padres. You can watch it right here on ESPN and on the ESPN app. Coming up, the blockbuster trade in the NFL is done. Julio's in Tennessee. Are the Titans now the biggest threats in the AFC? Guess who's going to answer that question? Ryan Clark joins the party live next. Don't miss it. Get up on ESPN.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.